This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Kiha Pimental, our regional director for our denomination, Foursquare. Pastor Kiha points out that fish, such as those living in the Alawai Canal in Honolulu, are unknowingly living in dirty water. During a major sewer line break in downtown Honolulu in 2006, millions of gallons of raw, untreated sewage were poured into the Alawai because there was no place else available. As such, many generations of fish have been born, lived, and died in dirty water, totally unaware that clean water even exists. For many of us, this analogy of living in dirty water is also true. Pastor Kiha explains that, through our connection with the Kingdom of Heaven, we are able to see the potential that we have to live in the true clean water. This message was delivered on January 21st, 2018. Here now is Pastor Kiha.
Give them another hand. They're so awesome. Well, if you're here today, you are in for a treat because our speaker today is Pastor Kiha. He's from Oahu. He is our district of Hawaii. He's our health coach. And he goes around, and you imagine he got to go check on like 50-something churches. So I don't know how he does it, but he's here to give us a wonderful message. So if you have your notes inside, there's a lot of room for you to write. So if you don't have a pen, you best get one now because there's going to be a lot of good information that you would want to write down. So it's there for you that you can apply it into your life later on. So would you welcome Pastor Kiha?
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me? Is my speaker on? Can you hear me okay? Aloha kakayaka, New Hope, East Hawaii. I grew up on the east side too, but east side Oahu. I'm Hawaiian, so I would feel really welcome if you gave me a chee-hoo. Oh yeah, feeling good now. How about a yee-haw? Okay, now I did that on purpose so that you remember my name is Kiha, not Kehau, not Kihei, right? I've gotten Kahi, but it's yeah, yee-haw like Kiha. So thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I don't get to preach very much, so I hope you guys don't have lunch plans. I promise it's a good message. I'll try to keep it under a couple of hours. It will go fast. Did you hear the story about Pastor Alex when he was Pastor Aaron when he was a young boy? He was at a church, like 6 years old. He was at a church, and he was looking at this large plaque covered with names and small American flags mounted on the side of each name. And he was looking at it for some time, and then Pastor Wayne walks up behind him and says, hey, what you doing? Good morning, Aaron. And he said, hey, good morning, Pastor Wayne. And he said, Pastor Wayne, what's this? And he said, Pastor Wayne said, well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service. And Aaron just stood there and looked and looked. And then he said, which service, the 8 or the 9:30? I just made that up, all right? Hey, I wanna say on behalf of the family of Foursquare, we have a number of churches in Hawaii. As Pastor said, there are 50 plus churches. Actually, there are 50 charter churches. And then you have another 10, what they call campus churches outside of that. And then we're part of a greater district, so it's not just Hawaii, but we're part of California, Arizona, Nevada, a little bit of Utah. So altogether in the Pacific Southwest District, we're covering 221 churches. What used to be the kind of the home office right here in Hilo, in fact, I would not be standing here were it not for men like Pastor Alex and Pastor Scott and Pastor Wayne, and all of those who have so beautifully laid the groundwork for so many of us to get to know Jesus. I am just so thankful to men of God like that. Well, that office used to be here. Now it's in Honolulu, where I work, out of a church that we planted called New Hope Diamond Head, now called C4, in the Kahala area. We have a campus at Kahala Mall and one at the Diamond Head Theater. Well, my senior pastor got asked to be the supervisor taking over for your folks' Pastor Alex, and then he had to move to California, so the bigger district team is in California, but they send their fond aloha. So we have 221 churches in our district now, and then in America we have 1,700, and then over all of the world, 100,000 churches, and so you're part of that family. But I have to point out how amazing you guys are, how amazing your pastor is. I kind of get a little choked up because, you know, there have been so many amazing apostles that have born in and out of this area, this place, from way back. And your pastor, Scott, is one of those. I want you to know that there are churches that have been birthed or churches that have been cared for over the seasons because of Pastor Scott and Christy and their daughters. When you think about Pastor Jennings went from this church to take care of another church. Pastor Ken Higa, I don't know if you guys remember, went from here to take care of another church. Now, you guys just recently sent Pastor Jaywin over to New Hope Puna. Now, can I just tell you, that is not an easy thing. You know, when you're raising leaders, you have this hope that they'll begin to take care of the church that you have, but we have not a castle-minded pastor. We have a kingdom-minded pastor, an apostle. So would you just help me thank both Pastor Scott and Christy? Thank you so much. It is not an easy thing to be a pastor, but can I tell you, it's even more difficult to be a pastor's wife. Ask my wife. She can tell you right now. I mean, we get it junk sometimes, but at least we can go home and vent. Some of our wives can't do that. You know, some of our wives can't do that. So it can be a very difficult thing, but I am really appreciative at the health and the walking woman of God that Christy is, and same for Kayla and Brittany, you know. Thank you guys for all that you've done. Really, thank you so much. I know that's a little hard to see, but can you see that picture over there? Can you guys see it? Or you can see some of it over there. Yeah, I want to tell you a little bit about my family. Oh, can I do that? Let's see. Oh, here you go. How about that? So this is my wife with her head kind of right above my head. I know. Everybody says I kind of outkicked my coverage. That's not my daughter. It is my wife. She is 3 years younger than me. I love Japanese. She's Japanese. Our kids are Japanese. Our dog is Japanese. You can see. I just love everything about Japanese. My wife is a flight attendant for Hawaiian, so that's another huge blessing. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock to walk onto a plane. I just jumped on a plane to come over here to be here. She sends her love and blessing. There are many people that are praying for you folks right now, so we just want to say we love you. There are so many people who know about you and love you. We know not only about the people that you sent, but we know about the work that you are giving. I don't know if you even know that some of the tithes that you have given has gone to help plant churches like in Philippines. Do you folks know that? Amazing TVs and equipment, and just to have other people understand and know the living God. I want to tell you that I've titled my message this morning, Living in Clean Water. Living in Clean Water. Anybody know this place? Does that picture look familiar to anybody? Hi'ilawe, very good. Hi'ilawe in Waipio. Do you know that that is the tallest waterfall in all of Hawaii, and it makes it also one of the tallest in the world? I think some of us don't know that. I love this island. My grandpa had a home in Kohala. In fact, he passed away there. But we have loved this island, all of the different parts of this island. I want to talk about living in clean water. In Honolulu, we have this place. Do you know it? Do you know it? It's called the Alawai. Something crazy happened in 2006. In the year 2006, there was a break in a sewer main in the middle of Waikiki. And get this, imagine this, this was you. You had to make a decision, like in minutes, you have to make a decision. Do you just stop it and plug it, which means every part of the sewer gets backed up into the hotels? Or do you get rid of it another way? And what they quickly tried to figure out is, what if we just brought trucks and kind of dumped it into trucks? And how many trucks would that be? And you know what? They just said, I don't know who it was exactly, but they said, let's just dump it into the Alawai. So they dumped 48 million gallons of raw sewage into the Alawai. It was disgusting. Now, you gotta know, I know I'm kind of old. I got plenty of white hair. In fact, I had this niece. I was in church with her not that long ago, and she goes, we're the only ones in church. And she said, Uncle, somebody in here got plenty of white hair. And I said, oh, Daddy, does that mean that I'm old? And she goes, no, Uncle, but you are going to see Jesus soon. I am old enough to remember fishing in the Alawai. I'm old enough to remember people crabbing in the Alawai. I remember seeing a guy like pull out crabs and biting them like raw right out of the Alawai. Did anybody dare do that now? Nobody went crazy, right? 48 million gallons. Let me tell you how much 48 million gallons is. If you go to the Aloha Stadium, right, and you see the white lines where the football field is, and all you did was dump the sewage into just the white lines, it would fill up the orange, up to the orange section, which is the kind of the lowest section. It would fill up the next section, which is the blue. It would go higher than the top of the stadium by another 30 feet. Is that an amazing amount of sewage right into the Alawai? The tragedy is there was a young man who fell in. Some of you, I heard you say earlier, you remember he fell into the Alawai and something terrible happened. He contracted this flesh-eating disease and it got so bad. The infection was so horrid that to stop it, they had to amputate one leg. And he started to swell. In fact, the other leg and his arm had to be amputated as well, trying to stop the infection. His mom was describing what he looked like. She was trying to hold his hand, but even his hand, his baby finger, was, again, three times the size of him. In fact, she said, I couldn't recognize him. The only thing I could recognize is his eyes and a little bit of his forehead. Even his earlobes had swollen. Can you imagine how dirty that water was? How disgusting that young man died. That is what the Alawai is. Dirty, stinking, putrid water. Now, you see those little things in the water? That's not floaters. That actually is fish. Right? That's not like remnants of the sewage spill. That's just fish. I have a question, though, for you. Do you think the fish know that they're living in dirty water? Why not? Why do they not know? The reason why they don't know that they're in dirty water is because they don't know clean water. Right? If you only know dirty water, you have no reference to what is different. And so today, what I'm hoping to do is to give us reference. There are some of us who know the reference, but I want to make it so crystal clear, but by the time you leave here, I want you to know the difference between clean water and dirty water, and I want you to know that you have a choice. Every single one of us has choice to live in clean water or to live in dirty water, or at least to see when they're in one, they can choose out. So are you guys ready? Will you allow me to just share a quick kind of theology? Would that be okay? All right, thank you. This is where, if some of you want to take notes, you can. I want you to know that I've gotten this from a lady. Her name is Beth Baroni, and she has a teaching called Pure Love. Baroni is spelled B-A-R-O-N-E, like bar one. So if you Googled it, you'd find it. Her teaching, this particular teaching, is just one part of 16 weeks of teaching, but I'm trying to give you a lot of it in just like a few minutes, but I just thought it was so profound for me that I got to share it earlier, and Pastor Scott said, hey, can you share that with my church? So that's why I'm here. So let me go through it. I want you to see that this is God. God who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is three in one. It's a mystery how that works, right? Three individual, but really one, the Trinity. Has anybody heard of Kahikolu Church? Anybody heard that church before? So on the, yeah, there's a hand back there. Kahikolu is a church on the west side where Opukahai is. Do you know who Opukahai is? Opukahai is an amazing man of God who wrote memoirs when he ended up getting, he found his way to the East Coast. He became a Christian and desired to have Hawaii know Jesus. This is before any missionaries ever came. He wrote a book, right, called The Memoirs of Opukahia. That's what started the first missionaries ever to come to Hawaii. He's buried in a church on the west side called Kahikolu. Do you know Kahi? Anybody know what Kahi stands for, what that means? One. And what is Kolu? So what is three in one? Kahikolu. Trinity, right here. That's God. That's just the Hawaiian name for Trinity. How's that? Pretty good, yeah, for that side. So this is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to know, that they defer to each other. They are one in mind. They are one in emotion, in how they feel. They're one in the way that they serve each other. They're one in love. Is there any boss in this picture? You know, some would say, oh yeah, the Father's the boss. But if you remember, he didn't tell Jesus, you gotta walk the way of the cross. He just said, hey, this is the option, this is the choice, this is what I desire. But if you remember, Jesus said, if you can take this away from me, would you do that? But he said also, not my will, your will. So he deferred to the Father. Did you follow that? So this is what I want you to see is they relate to each other. In fact, how we write it out is they govern each other with love and humble service. Check this out. They govern. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven, how the kingdom of heaven rules is out of love and humble service. If there's anything that I want you to take home that. Right? You don't have to listen to anything else now. You can just pow. If you guys want to go home, you can do that. Just take home love and humble service. Then you know that you're in the kingdom of heaven. How crazy is that? So there are some of us who have chosen Jesus for when we get to heaven, right? That we're saying yes to Jesus for the time when heaven is at a future time when we go to heaven and we know we're going to be here eternally. But here's what the Lord says, is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so I'm trying to tell you, you can tell when you're in the kingdom, you can tell when you are in the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of light or the kingdom of God, when you're in a place, when your family's in a place, when your workplace is, when your church is in a place of love and humble service. Are you catching it? It's just that simple. Did you see this worship team up here today? Did you see these dancers? Do you see the people who are setting up, handing out, greeting? People came, made breakfast at 5 o'clock this morning. Love and humble service. This is the kingdom of God right here. Isn't that cool? Are you guys catching on? So what I'm wanting you to see is what that looks like. Love and humble service. Here's the crazy thing, right? It says, let us. This is, everybody say, let us.
Let us.
So not U.S., right? Not United States. This is really important. It's let us make mankind in our image. What'd you catch by that? Right? He's saying, let us make man in our image. It's not let me make man in my image. It's us. Are you catching it? Who's the us? The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. So what does he do? He makes man. He makes man and he goes, oh, you know what? No good, the guy by himself. Better give him a partner. And then what is the first thing that the man says when he sees her? Whoa, man. Oh, woman. So that's what we get. We got a woman on one side and a man on the other. We got a man and a woman on that side. But check this out. Here's what you want to know. How does the kingdom of heaven govern itself? Tell me again. And love and humble service. So how should we relate? Kingdom of us. Kingdom of us. All we have to do is love and humbly serve each other and humbly love and humbly serve God. That simple. You can do that. So what we're doing is we're mimicking the way that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to each other. Are you catching on? It's like that simple. We just copy. Okay, I get to serve my spouse. I get to serve somebody else. And I get to serve him. If you're connected to him, you're connected to your friends, your family, your spouse, your children. You're connected that way. You're in the kingdom of heaven. Are you seeing it? It's like that simple. Now I want to tell you. The kingdom of us, not the U.S. again. The kingdom of, in fact, the U.S. is kind of opposite, right? Yeah. It's not the kingdom of us. It's this crazy thing. Let me look. I'll come right to it. So in Matthew 2, it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? We're just saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're saying repent because if you're not doing love and humble service, then we're saying, oh, better stop. I'm going to give you eyes to see, ears to hear. So I'm hoping that you're here with me. I'm going to give you eyes to see, ears to hear. When you're not in love and humble service, that's when you go, oh, sorry. Okay, Lord, let me reconnect to you. Let me reconnect to my spouse. Let me reconnect to the people around me, the people I love. And that's how we get back into love and humble service. That's how we get back into the kingdom of heaven. So that's what he's saying. Hey, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's that close. He's also saying that he rescued us from the power of darkness, reestablished us in the kingdom of his beloved Son, that is the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light. What is the opposite of the kingdom of light? The kingdom of darkness. What is the opposite of the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of hell. What is the opposite of the kingdom of God? The kingdom of Satan, that good banana. I want to just knock him out. In the kingdom of heaven, we say you're in clean water. You're in clean water. Anybody know where this picture is? Where is it? Waiohae? Kapoho? Yeah, okay. I'm not sure if it's Waiohae. I'd seen a thing that said Kapoho. Is that the same place? Oh, Waiohae. Okay. Waiopai. Oh, the opai water. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. So the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. That's clean water. Different. Remember the Aloi? Remember how dirty that was? Would you mind swimming in this? No, you can swim in that. It'd be super clean, right? Right? You could eat the opai out of this place. You could eat the fish out of this place. But let me tell you about the Aloi again. Check this out. That crafty enemy, the scheming enemy, this is what he does. He created a kingdom, a counterfeit kingdom that mimics, that mirrors what the kingdom of God looked like. Are you seeing it? Right? He made it mirror so that it looks like God's thing. And he's saying, hey, you can have it all. You can have it all. And rather than the kingdom of us, it becomes the kingdom of me. Are you seeing it? So anytime you're in the kingdom of me, you know you're in dirty water. Are you catching on? Well, check it out. I'm going to give you four ways that the enemy traps you. I'm going to give you four ways that the enemy will throw a net over you. The way he baits you, the way he tempts you, the way he throws you into that dirty, alawai, stinking, junky water, and you don't even know it. There are people here, like the tilapia, who you've been living in dirty water and you have no idea. So brace yourselves, okay? This is not to condemn you. This is like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. This is good news. Now I can see where I am, and now I can see how I can walk out to jump it. Waiopai. Right? This is how I know I can walk to He'ilavin and get clean up. Right? So here's what it looks like. Follow me on this. He throws four things at you. The first one is rejection. Rejection. So for those of you who have been abandoned, say there are some of you who has a parent that left you. Maybe parents got divorced and they're gone. Maybe you had a girlfriend or boyfriend cheated on you, or a spouse that did that, right? There's rejection. Where there's any type of like, oh, how come I didn't get chosen? How come my boss doesn't ask me? How come there's never, you know, all of those, how come, why? That feeling of rejection. So all of these four things are feelings, right? If you get a feeling of rejection, I just want you to know that you're getting tempted into dirty water. There's some of us that, hey, we all feel these four things, but there's some of us that will tend almost all the time, maybe every day kind, go right to, oh, yeah, look, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. How come I don't have no husband? How come I don't have no wife? How come, you know, I'm a whole rejection lifestyle? Do you guys know some of those guys? Don't look at them. Right? Their whole life is rejection. They, the tilapia, and they have no idea. Does that make sense? That's rejection. That's number one. I'll give you one quick story. You know, they had one dance over here. And you know how it was like homecoming dance and everybody, all the students go and dance? And so you had a whole bunch of guys on the sidelines, you know, just waiting for somebody to ask them or waiting to go and ask somebody. And you have this freshman, he was kind of courageous, walk over to a senior girl and say, would you like to dance? And the senior, like, check him out all the way up and down. And she goes, sorry, I don't dance with a child. And you know what he said? Oh, sorry, I never know you was hapai. That was just a joke. It didn't happen. Right, here's the next feeling. Fear. There's some of us who, again, we feel all of these other things, but we tend to be afraid. We're afraid about, oh, you know, how are we going to pay our bills? Oh, what about my son? What about my daughter? Oh, you know, what if they're going to do that? Oh, they're in a high place. Or they're in this, you know, oh, I mean, like every turn, you are afraid of something. Notice if that's you, like kind of you just have anxiety. You're constantly filled with this fear. Do you see the enemy, the guy with the net? He's trying to cast his net over you. To say, yeah, come into the dirty water. Come into the dirty water. So now you can see, hey, oh, I have choice now. I have choice. I don't have a fear. And I'll teach you how to get out. So you're starting to see people who are afraid. Might be some of you. The third one is what we call judgment. Judgment. People who live in judgment. Now, I tend to go to this corner. I'm just one of those. If there's some of you that kind of remind me of the guys that I've seen when I'm driving and you guys cut in front of me, or you're so slow, or you don't let me in, and I'm like kind of judging you already, or that I let you in and you don't give me the mahalo shaka, you just like drive, like, right? So I'm in my mind, I'm judging you. No, I've got that. I kind of inherited that, actually. My dad is kind of like that, right? Do you know people who are constantly correcting you? Do you know those guys? Don't look at them. Right? Too late. Too late, she said. She's already looking at them. Right? So we're judging each other, right? Or we're judging ourselves. Try to look at those. Look at those of us who are constantly, you know what, I'll never be good enough. You know what, I'm trying so hard, I cannot. Or, you know, what a dummy, why did I do that? Or I should have done this, or I should have done that. Or, you know, that constant conversation of judgment. Anybody know those guys? Right, so we've inherited that because that's what our earthly father has done. Right, the enemy has been casting nets all the time. We've been tilapias. We don't even know it. Right, we're swimming in that doo-doo water. It's just going by, and we have no idea that we get choice. But today, you have a choice. Today, you get new ways to be. Right, the fourth one is dictatorship. Dictatorship. Now, I wanted to get a little real. Is it safe to like, can I go there, you guys? So I grew up with a dad who was strong dictator, and he learned that from his parents. He didn't know any better. He just knew that, hey, my way is the highway, right? And if you don't do something, what happens? That's right, you're getting whacked. We call it lickings, right? You're getting lickings. Like, I get people coming to me and say, hey, Pastor, you guys had time out when you was growing up. I'm like, time out. I mean, time out. Time out. Yeah, I guess we had time out. Is the time it took for my father to take off his belt, maybe. Time out. Come on. Time out. No, in our family, if somebody did something wrong, my father would just say, line up. And he just start whacking people until somebody confess. I know this is funny, but it's true. We would go through and tell my sister, go, okay, I did it. What I did. But we'd be laughing and crying at the same time. But we don't know, right? But that's how it was in that. But can I tell you that between myself, I'm the oldest of six, all of us actually did well from all those lickings, right? We learned to behave. Right, but check it out. Behaving is outward, but inside, I still had the judgment. I still had fear. I still had all the rejection. Still going on, but outside, I knew how to live. Right, I knew how to behave. But here's the crazy and the sad part: is that when I started to have my own children, I led the same way. In my house, it was my way. And I cannot tell you the upset by it. So what's crazy is me and my brothers and sisters, everybody go college. I think five of us had college scholarship for play sports or play music. Everybody did well in school. I mean, it produced a result. So for me, I'm thinking, oh, that's the way I got to do them. And it actually the opposite happened. My son dropping out of school, don't want to talk to me. I mean, all these junky things are happening. And I cannot understand. Hey, wait, I'm trying to lead like a godly man. But the truth was, I was leading in dirty water. Everybody see? I was a dictator, and I never even know. Because that's the way that the enemy run his kingdom, is dictatorship, my way. Does that make sense? But in the kingdom of heaven, how do we govern ourselves? Love and humble service. Are you catching on? Love and humble service. Love and humble service. The dictatorship, I tell you, I cried. When I learned this thing, I had to go apologize. Now, my kids are older, kind of out of the house, but I'm having to apologize for the abuse, for the pain, I thought I was right. I thought I was leading the way I was supposed to, but the truth was, it was stinking doo-doo water all the way, right? So I'm wanting that we have new choice. When the enemy throws you dictatorship, when he throws you fear, when he throws you rejection or judgment, all he's doing, check this out, see the X's?
All he's trying to do is interrupt your connection to God. Or he's trying to interrupt your connection with the other person, your kids, your wife, your husband, right? He's trying to cut that off. It becomes a kingdom of me. And I actually think that it's a kingdom of us, but it was dirty water. It was really a kingdom of me because it got to be my way. Are you seeing it? So that guy is sly. But today, we have his number. Everybody can see how he works. So you get choice now. All you have to do, check this out. All the answer to all of our issues, every single one, all of these things is just to reconnect where there's an X. Like, I can see that I'm fearful. Right? So let me just use an example. I'm fearful. Can I just tell you, I was kind of nervous coming over here today. And as I'm on the plane, in fact, I saw Frank. I didn't recognize Frank. On the plane, we're coming over, and my stomach is going, wanting to prepare. And part of it is I'm wanting to impress you. I know that's dirty water, but I'm just being real. Right? I'm wanting to impress you because I don't want to be rejected. Right? You catch that. And then I have this fear, you know, maybe you guys not gonna like me, or my PowerPoint not gonna work, or I mean, all these different things is going in my head, right? Feelings. But here's the answer. Now write this one down. The first thing I do is I go right to the Father, and I reconnect to Him. I say, Father, what do you think? What do you think? And this is what He said. He's like, I got this. You're good. I got this. Just keep walking. You're good. I got this. Now, that's what the Father said to me. He might say something to you different, but you got to discern the Father's voice yourself. And it's really simple. All you got to do is ask Him. And if you're looking, He'll show up. Sometimes He'll show up in one voice that looked like Pastor Scott. Right? Just other different people. Sometimes it's a song. Sometimes it's a Bible verse. Sometimes it's like yesterday I was out in Punalu'u and I just said, Lord, I'm not gonna move until I see you. And I had three birds right in front of me. So I knew Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay. I'm cool. So what I'm trying to do is connect back to God, and then I go to the Father, and then I go to Jesus. This is the big one now. I say, Jesus, I've been afraid. I'm afraid to be rejected. But what is the feeling that you want for me? Let me say that again, because this is home run. This will change your whole life, you guys. Take note, right? If you don't, you're like, believe me now, hear me later. Is that the thing? Is that the line? Hear me now, believe me later. I think that's the thing. Right? Hear me now, believe me later. You want to ask Jesus, what is the emotion you want from me? Right? What's the emotion? And He said, I breathe my peace onto you right now. He might say to you, I breathe my joy onto you right now. He might say to you, I breathe my hope, my faith onto you now. I don't know what it is, but you ask Him. That's why secular psychology and psychiatry never works, because they don't know the Father. They don't know Jesus, who can give you the perfect emotion for what the devil has trapped us in. Does that make sense? But you got to ask Him. You got to ask Jesus Himself, like, what are you breathing on me? And then you don't move. You keep breathing until He give it to you. I want you to know this is the way out of every issue you got. Every fear, every rejection, every judgment. Watch Him. Ask Him. Listen to Him. Breathe it in. Okay, and here's the third one. You go to the Holy Spirit and then ask Him, okay, now how do I serve? And He just said, yeah. You got Him today. Have fun doing it. I want you to be outrageous. I want you to be, like, fun and funny, because I'm not normally funny. All right. Kingdom of us, kingdom of me. Are you catching it? Yeah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, what do you think? Jesus, what am I asking? What do you want me to feel? So I'm going to replace the feeling. I'm going to replace the feeling. Now, check this out. For people who have been damaged, like major league damage, like abused, you can trade all of those ugly, junky, whatever things that happened to you, like from baby time,
The worst things that you can, all of that stuff, you don't have to contend with anymore. You can see them and feel them, but then you can say, hey, Jesus, I give to you. You give me the one that you want. And watch what happens when you replace his feeling. It's an amazing transformation. I have seen crazy, crazy miracles. If only you guys did that, you know what's going to happen? This place, you're going to have to go to 4 services. Honestly, because there's going to be so much miracles in and around you and your families that everybody's going to say, what's happening? I want that. What's going on? I want to be around you more. Like, tell me, teach me, help me. What happened? What happened? You used to be so afraid. What happened? You used to be all judgmental. What happened? You're only loving me and serving me now. What's going on? Only, you know why? Because dirty water fish, they don't want to jump out of the alawai to nothing. They want to run to clean water. But you got to give them clean water. You cannot dictate them. You cannot tell them you got to. All you can do is love and humble service and watch them swim to you. Are you with me? All right. We're almost there. So you got choices. You got dirty water. You got dirty water, kingdom of me. Right? Now are you guys having new eyes? Are you getting to see now where you've been in dirty water? Where it's been about you? Right? And then when that happens, repent. Connect back to God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Or you have the kingdom of us, which is governed by love and humble service. Right? Repent. Go right back to the kingdom. Love and humble service. Go to clean water. I want you now, for the rest of your lives, to begin to have this as your worldview. Do you see what I'm asking? I want you to look at everything out of these lenses. Forever, you can put these glasses on and like, whoa, wow, I can see, wow. Oh my gosh, yeah, that's me. Okay, I want to go clean water. So I'm going to give us some tests. Even when you're reading the word, you can see when people are in clean water and people in dirty water. It's like super fun and funny. You guys ready for a try? I'm going to give you one try today. I need 3 volunteers, and they don't know that I've already chosen them. So I'm going to ask Carlin to come up. Carlin is going to be my narrator. I'm going to have Kahea. Kahea is going to come up to be Mary. And then I'm going to have a brother that I just met today. You don't even know. Chucky. He's actually on loan to us. Even with his baby. Come up, brother. Chucky's coming. He's actually with Pastor Jaywin's church. He came over for a visit tonight. And so all I want you to do, grab a mic. Please grab a mic. Because I want you to be able to. This is going to be so much fun, you guys. I can't believe. Oh, my gosh. All right, so stand up here. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna you don't have to act it out. Although I've done this before when it's like crazy funny to act it out. But I just want you guys to. Are you gonna be our translators for the people? Are you willing to do that? Just translate. So here's what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna read the word in the. You know how they have the NKJ, like New King James.
I'm in the Alawai, right?
You know that? Okay. So you're the narrator. This is the New Kiha version, right? There's not the New King James version. This is the New Kiha version. So I'm going to read part of the Bible in Pidgin, and then you're going to translate in good English for everybody else what the narrator said. You're gonna say what. Mary says, and then you be Jesus, okay? And you'll know by when I tell you, okay? Catch on. You guys ready? Can we give you guys a hand, please? Can you see all the dirty water team coming up right already? All right, it's going to be super fun. Here we go. All right, so here's the narrator, Carlin, right? Carlin, so I'm just going to go easy. I'll just give you one line at a time, and then all you do is, in good English, just tell the people. Because, hey, just try to look at them. Make believe that no more locals over here. They don't know nothing. They're only from another place.
I don't know English.
Okay, here's the first line. Jesus and the guys he teach went go down one road.
Jesus went down the road.
You can give her a hand.
Jesus
It's just that simple. It's going to be like that. And they come to one small kind town.
And they came to a small town.
One Wahine named Martha stayed there.
A lady named Martha was there.
And this is Martha. She says, "Hui."
Hello.
Hello, my eye. This is the narrator. She went tell him for come inside the hallway.
She told them to come in the house.
And she get one Tita named Mary.
And she has a sister named Mary.
And Mary went go couple the pace, the space by the pune'e.
And Mary took the place by, I don't know what is that.
By the pune'e. By the pune, by Jesus, by Jesus. The pune, anybody know pune? Pune is a little couch. Yeah. By the pune, by Jesus' feet, for listen for all what brother had for say. Oh, beautiful. Give one hand. So this is still the narrator, right? Martha, she bus elemu making da emu.
Martha worked really hard.
And ku eat a poi.
And mixing the poi.
That's when Bada met Martha planning. Because only her was doing all the work.
Because she was the only one working.
And she come namu namu to Jesus.
And she came to Jesus to grumble.
What's up, boss? She telling, talking to Jesus.
Hello.
Hey, try to look at my sister. That lazy puhio.
She's very lazy today.
She's going to leave me all by myself for do all the hana.
I've been working really hard by myself.
That's for pu'ia gun fun it.
Yeah.
Cracks.
She needs licking.
Tell her for kukula that. The boss went go tell Martha.
Okay, now you gotta go tell Martha.
Wait, sorry, did I mix that up?
Yes.
So Martha, right? Let's go back because I mixed it up. I think I mixed it up. Because it was Martha, sorry, that was Kahea, that's going to talk to the boss. Oh. Right? So we go, what's up, boss?
Hi.
Tell it my sister. Tell it my sister. That lazy, I wrote here fut, but I mean puhio.
She's very lazy.
She gonna leave me all by myself to do all the hana.
And she makes me do all of the work by myself.
That's for puhio gun fun it.
It's really frustrating.
Cracks! Tell her for help. Tell her for kukula that.
Please tell her to get her to help me.
And the boss, when you go tell Martha, so you have to, that's you, narrator. The boss went go tell Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha.
Martha, Martha, Martha.
Kuya jets, Tita.
Can you please calm down?
You get all your panties in one stretch for what?
Getting everything up in a bunch.
You the kind all hoo-hoo for nothing.
You're getting all frustrated for nothing.
And you stay worried about all kind of kupala stuff.
I'm worrying about everything that you don't need to be worried about.
But you only need one thing.
And you only need one thing.
And Mary got him.
And Mary got him.
She went pick the more better thing.
She went pick the more better thing.
She picked the right one.
And nobody can ihui that away from her.
And no one can take that from her.
How about a hand for these guys? Oh my gosh, that is so good, you guys. That's a good, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stay in clean water now, stay in clean water. So let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven. And I desire this, and I've been praying for this for your homes, that when you're living in clean water and love and humble service, there's no shame. Now, having done something like this, this is right about the time to get shame hangover. Right? They start, oh God, how come, I should have said something, all that, right? So you know those places, when you get asked to do things, or when you've done, when you should have done something, that whole shame hangover, or maybe you have had a particular sin, and you can't share it with anybody, because people will reject you, people will think less of you, people will start to be upset with you. But in the kingdom of heaven, there's no shame. In the kingdom of heaven, it's a judgmental-free area. Are you catching that? So what would it be like if your homes got to be those places where you could share with each other the things you're struggling with? I mean, like, really. Like, a dad could come home and he say, you know what, I'm noticing that I've been drinking a lot, right? Or a kid could say, hey, Mom, I know. I've been smoking, or I've been taking drugs. And that you wouldn't be the whole dirty water thing, but you're like, it's okay, babe, we're going to do it. We'll do it together. We can do this together. We're going to find help. We're here for you. No condemnation, no rejection, only love and humble service. What would that look like? Can you see? Can you see what I'm talking about? That if you were like that and your family started to heal, your marriages started to heal, everybody else out around you can start swimming towards the clean water. It's an amazing, amazing place. That is why I have such a great hope for you, because, can I tell you, your leaders in this church model it better than any place else that I know. It is a love and humble service thing. I mean, they'll be honest about where they've been in dirty water, right? But they'll also say, oh, let me connect again. All right, Father, what do you say? All right, Jesus, let me switch out emotions. What is the feeling you want for me? Right? Okay, where can I serve now? Are you catching it? Are you now have eyes to see? Can you see where you have choice now between clean water and dirty water, kingdom of us or kingdom of me? You have choice now. You have choice. It's that easy that you can see kingdom of us, love and humble service. Can I pray for us? Lord God, you're amazing. I pray your Holy Spirit on every ear, every person that has just heard this message. And would they now repent of those places where they've been in dirty water? And Lord God, would they begin to be the place of cool, clean, fresh, beautifully tasting water, water that gives life, water that we can bathe in, water that we can share with those around us who love us, that we can share with the people at our work, that they can share with the people in our community. Lord God, we desire to be connected to you in ways we've never been connected before. Would we begin now to hear your voice, God, about what you think? That we would begin to know and feel, Jesus, what it is that you have for us by feelings. And that, Holy Spirit, you would direct us about how to serve. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray it in the mighty name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the church said,
amen. Amen. Would you thank Pastor Kiha? Whew, what a powerful message. Would you all stand? Gosh, you know now when I'm driving, I am driving in dirty water, but I got to get out. But, man, what a powerful message. Don't let it go to waste. Apply it. Just think about reconnecting and swimming and living in the clean water. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Pastor Kiha Pimental at New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.